This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW, because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour, the boots that turn grocery aisles into runways, and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You know, it might be a little early in the morning for Disturbed to be rocking in your radio, but hey, come on now, you got to wake up. It's 9 a.m. All right, so it's like really 8 a.m., but we're just going to call it 9 a.m. That's kind of the way it works. Welcome to the program. Welcome to a Sunday morning at 9 a.m. Hello. Yeah, right. Did you change? I hope you did. Yeah, okay. Here we go. We got about 3 hours here to talk to you, to chat it up. I know it's early. Grab a coffee. You'll be fine. I mean, you think it's early. I got a kind of a little bit of a personal kick. I thought, well, you know, here poor Greg and Sam, they've got to be on the air, you know, at 6:30 in the morning, which is really 5:30 in the morning. Kind of know what that's like, okay? You know, it's just, because did that for a few years, like a lot. I was one of those people. If you're one of those people like me, one of the reasons I'm so not in favor of all this time changing, and I put a thing up yesterday, you know, like get rid of spring forward, and people are like, you're going to get ratioed because people want a spring forward and they want daylight savings time. I'm like, I couldn't care less if it's daylight savings time or standard time. I want to be like Arizona and Hawaii. Why do I want to be like Arizona and Hawaii? Because Arizona and Hawaii are the two states that don't change times. They picked one and they said, that's it, we're staying on. In the case of Arizona, of course, they stay on. I don't know which one they stay on. I don't know which one they standard Pacific time or daylight savings Pacific time. They're on Pacific time, but I don't know which one they stayed on. And then Hawaii is on Hawaii Aleutian time. You may not know that. I think people in the United States tend to think that there are four times. There's six. Do you know there are six time zones in the United States? Just so you know. Okay. And Hawaii is in the sixth. There's Alaska time, and then there's Hawaii Aleutian time. I know. You probably didn't know that. One of those weird little Abe Gordon trivia things that I happen to know. Anyway, so Hawaii and Arizona don't change time, okay? And, you know, for somebody like, again, if you are one of these people that in your life and in your career and in your jobs has worked all over the map, I did, 10 p.m. to 3 a.m., 5-hour show at Fox Sports Radio for a long time, which when I came and moved back to Atlanta, because I had to come back home, was midnight to 5 a.m. So that was the first time I had a home studio. And for a long time, I was doing midnight to 5 a.m. Oof, oof, oofta. As they say in Norway, oofta, midnight to 5 a.m. That would be like, I get into the 4 a.m. hour sometimes, and I'm like, you know? And then I turn around and go from that to Terry Fox saying, hey, why don't you start your show at 5 a.m.? So I was ending my show at Fox at 5 a.m. and then starting my show at 9:10 at 5 a.m. It's my body's like, wait, pick one, okay? Pick one. Don't care, just pick one. So that's why I'm just like, don't care, just pick one, right? Noelle White, how are you doing this morning? Are you doing okay?
I'm pretty good. John, how about yourself?
I'm fine. I mean, I made sure I went to bed at a halfway decent hour, so I got a little bit of sleep. I know the time change screws up a lot of people, especially the spring forward, you know, so, well, okay, you know. But you managed to get a little bit of shut-eye after last night?
Yeah, I got a little bit of sleep, and I think my alarm clock did too, because it did not go off this morning. I didn't know daylight savings affects the alarm clock, but that's okay. We got here. And everything is on schedule and on time, so we're great.
Well, there you go. Okay. We got a lot to get into. Yeah, we got a lot to get into here. You know, kind of yakking with all of you about, you know, the Hawks and United last night, college basketball. I mean, it's March. Again, March is one of those great months. Nobody talks about how great it is. It's a great month of sports. I mean, you got the NCAA tournament, March Madness going on, Selection Sunday. You've got, you know, the beginning, really kind of, this is Bay Hill this week. I mean, really the kind of ramp it up of golf season. NBA is in full throttle with, you know, under 20 games to go. NHL just got through its trade deadline. Opening day is around the corner. And, of course, tomorrow will be free agency. In about 27 hours, free agency begins. The NFL can say whatever it wants about how the period before free agency actually begins, because free agency begins, this is the NFL, and I'm mocking them. The free agency begins when the league year begins Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern time. But we allow teams to talk to free agents and negotiate as of noon Monday. We call it legal tampering. Oh, you mean free agency? No, we call it legal tampering. Well, they can negotiate with players and agents about deals and come to an agreement with free agents about deals starting noon tomorrow? Yes. So it's free agency. No, we call it legal tampering. This is the stupidest thing. Okay? They had to come up with some term, legal tampering? Stop it. You know, it's free agency. Free agency begins. All right, forget about the stupid. If you say, somebody say, legal tampering. No. Free agency starts at noon tomorrow. How are the Falcons going to do this? Now, we're going to try and roust Joe Patrick out of his slumber here somehow, some way. See if we can get him on the show, my cohort in crime when it comes to the Atlanta Falcons. Talk to him about it. But I want to talk to you about it, too. So we got three big things to talk about. All right, welcome to the show. It's early on a Sunday morning, earlier than your body is used to, but we'll make do. 404-726-0929 is the number, 404-726-0929. You are a guest on the program, not a caller. And we can disagree without being disagreeable, and I give you plenty of time to chat, and that's how we kind of roll on this show. It's a little bit of a different show, different vibe, your chance to kind of be part of it. I want to hear what you have to say, and I hope you want to hear what I have to say, and we'll figure things out together. I always like to put three things out there, kind of to throw it around, but I'm not opposed to, like, for example, I'm really not talking much about college basketball or Atlanta United at the top of my list here. It doesn't mean I won't talk about the 0-0 tie. You want to talk about putting people to sleep last night? New York Red Bulls did a pretty good job of that. Pfft, man. You know, Red Bulls didn't have a shot on goal. They were like, let's take our 11 guys and let's park that bus in front of our net and just stand there. Oh, my God. So, anyway, that's just so boring when the teams do this. I guess it's a nod to the fact that maybe Atlanta United's got some attackers and that they figured one goal was going to lose it for them, that they weren't going to be able to score, which, okay. But then that creates this really kind of dull game. Not United's fault, but anyway, 0-0 or nil-nil, as they say, last night. But you can react to that. You're welcome to. I'm certainly will talk to you about that. And college basketball with tournament time around the corner here. Is Georgia in? I think they're in. But there are bid stealers out there. There's the bid thieves, as they call them. So you got to be careful. If Georgia wants to be in, it needs to win at least one game in the SEC. All right, now, and they may already be in, but winning a game in the SEC tournament will be like, phew, okay, we're definitely in. Because bid thieves happen. You know, there's a really good team, a mid-major, that's in a league that's a one-bid league, could be a two-bid league, and suddenly they get beaten, and they're already in because, you know, the regular season champions, and they have like 26 wins or something, and then somebody else upsets them and they get the automatic berth, and the committee's like, well, we got to take the other team. And that's what happens, and you get bid thieves happen. So to eliminate the bid thieves, Georgia, I think Georgia's in at the moment, short of bid thieves. That's the only kind of not here. All right. So to make sure that the bid thief doesn't steal it, you go out and win a game in the SEC tournament, because there are still a lot of teams that are kind of on the, for when they say on the bubble, it's really a, if you're like the last four in or the first four out, you're hoping that's the bubble. Okay. But if you're in the projected field of 68, then you're pretty much in unless a bid thief happens. So that's why you want to win a game. So, and for Georgia Tech, I know. Look, it is what it is. For Georgia Tech, Kennesaw State, same thing. I mean, a nice win by Kennesaw State yesterday. Those two teams are going to have to win the automatic berth in their tournaments. And what are the odds of Georgia Tech winning the ACC tournament? Not great. Not great. But, you know, look, hey, it happened, what, 4 years ago when nobody thought it would happen, so it could. And for Kennesaw State and for Georgia State, if they can, you know, just make the postseason, pardon me, Georgia Tech, if they can just make the postseason, I think Georgia Tech's in the NIT, and Kennesaw State's probably in the next tier down, which is like the CIT. There's actually, I still think there's four. No, I still think, right, CBI, CIT are both around still, I think.
I believe so. And then there's what the NIT, it's another, it's a four-letter one. I can't.
Well, you got the NCAA, right? Right. And then you got the NIT, which, of course, the NCAA owns the NIT, which is, just stands for not in tournament. But still, it's kind of a neat thing, you know. I mean, you get to go to Madison Square Garden if you're in the Final Four, and it's fun to play a little bit more basketball, and you get to hang a banner if you win it. And then there's like the CBI, which is College Basketball Invitational, and then the CIT, the College Invitational Tournament. The, you know, so there's others is the point. And so for Kennesaw State to be in the others just to play a little bit more basketball would not be a bad thing. And it's been, by the way, a very successful season, I think, for their first year in Conference USA. So I'm bully on them for that. All right, so to the topics here. We can certainly talk about those things, but they're not kind of top of mind. The top of mind topics today include, of course, free agency beginning tomorrow. The Atlanta Falcons, what's going to happen here? You know, are the Falcons going to be active? Are they stuck? I see, you know, AtlantaFalcons.com is talking about Khalil Mack, which is great. I don't know how we get the money for that, but there are a lot of like amateur capologists running around Twitter right now saying things like, oh, they can create $40 or $50 million just at the, you know, snap of a finger. You know, all you have to do is restructure a bunch of guys, as if you could just automatically restructure them. Hey, you, come in here. Hey, yep, come in. I know you're under contract for next year, right? Yeah. We're going to restructure you so that we could create. That's not how it works, boys and girls. You call dude in. Dude says, no, I've got a contract. I'm not restructuring. Yes, but it's for the good of the team. Okay, but I'm not restructuring. You can't just automatically. People like to automatically restructure people. It's not the way it works. Okay, they may agree to restructure. Grady may agree to restructure. That'd be great. But he doesn't have to. He can say no if he wants to. Again, it's not as simple as people seem to think it is. And it really revolves around trying to get rid of Jerko. I mean, because the broke down liar, look, the broke down liar has met with, in the last, you know, what, 4 or 5 days, he's met with an NFL owner, Arthur Blank, a former football owner, Donald Trump. Did you see that? And so why hasn't he met with another? He should be out there meeting with other NFL, real live NFL owners now. But Johnny can't do that. I mean, he can't go meet with other teams because, you know, that would be like cheating before, you know, legal tampering. What, like he hasn't done that before? Oh, yeah. Huh. Did we forget? Is there a reason we don't have a fifth round pick this year? It's the, what? Kirk Cousins doesn't go, he doesn't go a little bit early? He doesn't like do the daylight savings time thing where he, you know, springs forward on the legal tampering? Yeah, he did it to us. Yeah, okay. So what happens with him is really kind of going to be kind of how far you can go into agency, all right? It's not a question whether you can go into free agency. You can, but how far you can go into it, considering that the Falcons have the second worst cap situation in the entire NFC, only outdone by our friends to the southwest down in the swamp, who are in cap hell. Falcons aren't in cap hell, but it's not a great cap situation. Let's just put it that way here. And then there's the Hawks last night and the Braves yesterday. Did you know, as we go to our first break, that yesterday the Hawks and the Braves both moved into first place? No, I'm dead serious. Dead serious. And coming up a little bit later in the show, I'll explain exactly how. And by the way, I'm 100% absolutely serious that both are in first place in the standings right now. All right, it's going to be a fun show. Let's get into it. 404-726-0929. Let's talk Falcons. Let's talk Hawks. Let's talk Braves. Get a college basketball. Let's go. All right, Sunday morning. All right, up and at 'em. Let's go. On Sports Radio 99 The Game.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
92 on The Game on a Sunday morning. Tournament time. We're going to be, by the way, we're going to have tons of NCAA tournament. This is your home of the NCAA tournament. So March Madness is going to break out all over the radio station over the next month. We're getting into, you know, the major conference tournaments coming up this week. And, of course, a week from today is Selection Sunday. One of my favorite days of the year. Love Selection Sunday. I've always loved the Selection Show, but you know, it's always going to be fun. Now it's going to be a huge week. You got Selection Sunday coming up next Sunday. Of course, free agency opens tomorrow. No matter what they want to call it, it's still free agency. Just a saying, okay? Joe Patrick is my partner in crime on the Falcons, and we drug him up this morning. We drug him out of bed. Okay.
Hey, you got any?
You pick me up because you know. I mean, it's like it's 9:23, but we're just going to call it 9:23. It's like really 8:23. Sorry to drag you up there, Joe. You're good.
I'm good. I am tired. There was an Atlanta United game last night, and so, right. You know, the unwinding from that's always an issue. But, you know, hey, we're chugging along, and the tiredness now will make for a good night's sleep tonight.
Yeah, that game should have just put you to sleep.
No kidding. I mean, that was brutal. That was brutal. I don't know how much you want to get into it, but the second half of that was not good. But, hey, the coach, Ronnie Dyla, he wouldn't say he laid into the team in the postgame press conference, but he was fired up at talking about just how not good enough they were, which I think is a great thing to hear if you're an Atlanta United fan. Not with, you know, having a coach who's not going to kind of sit down and take performances like that, I think it's a great thing.
Let's talk about the Atlanta Falcons. Let's get into free agency beginning at noon tomorrow, so just over 24 hours from now, free agency. They call it legal tampering. It's not. It's free agency. Joe Patrick, of course, covers the Atlanta Falcons for us. He's our Falcons insider. And, Joe, let's just kind of begin at the beginning here. I noticed that this is really an indictment kind of on the current administration. They must get the whole Michael Penix thing right, because post-Matt Ryan, all four of the starting quarterbacks, Taylor Heinicke, Noodle Arm Quitter, DoorDash Dez, and now Broke Down Liar, all four are available and on the open market because nobody wants them.
Yeah, that's definitely true. But hey, I mean, I don't know about you, John, but like, I mean, I could not be more impressed really with what we saw from Michael Penix in the last three games. Those three games, I just retweeted recently just a highlight video, great highlight video of the highlights of those games with the old NFL films, like background music, you know, of the old like Vikings or Packers, you know, the kind of that old school music. Anyway, just thought that he was phenomenal, and I could not be more optimistic about his prospects going into next season. Now, are there a lot of question marks? Absolutely, because he does not have the experience, and there is now some film on him, so teams will have been able to adjust. And with Zach Robinson, I think there's still kind of a lot to prove there on his end. A very bright coordinator who did not get any head coaching interviews during what it was, again, another busy cycle, which I think you probably wouldn't have thought would be the case considering the kind of hype he had coming in. But, you know, lots of these guys to prove. But I think the talent is there, both for Penix, but for Zach Robinson to get this thing together and get it right. And I do think, I mean, you know, I don't think there's any bones about it that this franchise has a quarterback for the next decade. I think the problem for them now, obviously, is going to be trying to, you know, dig out of this little bit of hole that Kirk Cousins leaves, because the team ultimately wanted to devote X amount of dollars or X amount of capital toward getting the quarterback position right. I think they did get it right, but they didn't get it right in the way that's not going to create some short-term pain, and that's obviously what they're going to have to deal with right now.
Well, you know, and I mentioned this earlier in the show, free agency, legal tampering, free agency, at noon Monday, Kirk Cousins, if I were Arthur Blank in that meeting that they, you know, reportedly had this week, I would have said, hey, you're free to go talk to teams now. And Kirk could have said, yeah, but that legal tampering hasn't started. That would be cheating. Well, yeah, you've done it before. I mean, look, us, right? Okay. Anyway, go ahead. You know, I mean, cut your own deal. You know, figure out something here, because they've got to figure out a way to move on from this, because, Joe, I think it's sort of untenable, especially when you have a meeting with the owner and the owner says, yeah, we're going to do what's in the best interest of the team, which is to say, we're going to dump you. We just have to make sure that you give us the ability to do so. We're not going to let you pick and choose what team you get traded to. You just got to give us the blanket no trade, or we're going to part, as we talked about, not necessarily as the backup quarterback. We may have you as like the scout team quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, that's the great leverage that the Falcons have in this situation, is they hold the contract. They hold the contract, and Kirk obviously wants out of that contract. That's really what we learned this week. And listen, I don't actually think it's in the Falcons' best interest to get rid of Kirk Cousins at this point in time. As crazy that is to say, it is in the Falcons' best interest to get rid of Kirk Cousins at some point. But honestly, if you just look at the cap, the best thing they can do for their cap number is to trade him after June 1st. So that could leave us, if that is the case, that could leave us in a pretty significant period of uncomfortability, I would say, where Kirk Cousins remains a part of this team, including receiving his $10 million roster bonus. Now, if he does receive that, that money does not affect this year's cap. That would affect the next year's cap. And that money would obviously go into just changing his overall value. But I think that, John, I just think that things really turn this week in a way that is conducive for the Falcons getting capital back, which is, one, we know that now that Kirk Cousins is willing to make things happen to get out, including what we have to believe would be, you know, agreeing to waive his no trade clause. There is potential that he could even take a pay cut in order for the Falcons to then be able to release him for, you know, a less salary cap number. The reason that Kirk might want to do that is so then he can then go and sign a new contract with a team, despite taking the pay cut, that can give him more guaranteed money, more years on the end. So that could be something that happens. But also, you know, the Falcons can make the argument, hey, we have the best backup quarterback in the league. Now, hold your laughter now. We have the best backup quarterback in the league, and we're going to value that quarterback for what he's worth. Not only what we have him on contract for, but if we were to have to get rid of him, if we were to trade him or, you know, release him, then we have to go out and sign another backup quarterback. That's going to cost us money, and that's really the reason, I think that's like the main reason why you don't just see the Falcons cutting right now, because if they cut right now, they get nothing in return, and they just open up another need for them this offseason with having to fill that spot. So, you know, I continue to think they're going to hold on to Kirk Cousins, and it's not that they're not going to entertain trade offers, but they're just not going to move him for anything less than what they see. And then also, John, the other kind of piece of this is Geno Smith getting traded at 30. He's a 34-year-old quarterback, a lot less, you know, just productive in his career than Kirk Cousins, although I can understand why Geno is technically a more valuable quarterback than Kirk Cousins at this point in Cousins' career. And Geno just went for a third-round pick. You know, that is That is a lot of compensation. I don't think Kirk would go for a third-round pick just because he is older. But still, I mean, that is a good deal. Like, you know, $25 million for Kirk Cousins for a team like the Giants, for example, who need competent quarterback play, or the brass is going to all get fired. I think it's going to be a very tempting move for some teams around the NFL.
Yeah, I agree with Joe's analysis here. Kirk's going to be held on to probably until after June 1st. And the other thing is Falcons are going to try and create is leverage. They've got leverage now on Kirk Cousins, who, you know, openly admitted that he wants out of his contract by meeting with Arthur Blank. And they have leverage now to be able to hold on to him and let injuries happen and things of the like, where teams start to panic and then overpay in terms of future compensation and things of that nature. So we'll see how this kind of all plays out. Now, the bigger question is, when you're underwater on the cap, you know, presuming, you know, some players get cut, you're not bringing back Drew Dolman, you just can't afford him right now. And so Ryan Uziel is going to be your center. Maybe you go out and get another veteran. I don't know how they're going to handle that. Do you think they bring, I'm going to just do a little rapid fire. Because I think, all right, I'll just say a couple things to see if you say yes or no. I think the Falcons will offer both Matt Judon and Justin Simmons new deals at lesser money, and both will take them. Yes or no?
I would say no, mainly for the Judon part of that. I don't think the Falcons are interested in that. But I think Simmons, yes, very possible.
All right, let's go with the Grady reworks his deal, $16.2 million, agrees to restructure his deal into like a three-year deal, spread it out, take some money on the front end, and stay a Falcon for life.
Yeah, I think that's got to happen. I think there's interest in both sides. There would be reasonable interest in both sides in doing that. I think that may happen today, but we'll see.
David Onyemata gets cut.
Yeah, I think that's got to happen. That might be, well, that I think that's probably that's definitely the more likely thing to happen today. Because this news has got to come out sometime. They got to cut $4 million.
Right.
But yeah.
Right, exactly. Caleb McGarry also restructures to stay with the team.
Ooh, that is a great question. I'm going to say no, just because I think that would be putting a lot of faith in Caleb, you know, in terms of him being more of a longer-term piece. So I'll say no, but it's definitely on the table.
Because if he doesn't, I think they're going to look at him and say, I think they're going to cut him. But they need to create money somewhere.
Yeah.
And I think his contract is, you know, we got to create, because they have to go out and get some people, right? They need to bring Simmons back more so than Judon, because they've got two holes in their secondary. They don't need three. And I know that Falcons.com said, well, they'll go out and get, you know, Reed or somebody else to play safety, Fuller, I forget who, because I've seen different projections. And I'm like, yeah, well, just bring Simmons back. I mean, don't create more mess. You've got to be able to go out there, because I think what the Falcons ultimately would like to do is that they would like to explore the possibility of getting a veteran for a edge, a Khalil Mack, for example. I don't know if it's going to necessarily be, you know, or maybe even a Hassan Reddick, but a veteran, you know, who can act, who still has a little bit of game, who can act like a Dwight Freeney for Braylon Trice and for Arnold Ebiketie, and free them up to be able to go to, and I think what they're thinking is, at 15, 16, 18, that they could possibly trade down and still get same value at 15 as they could, let's say, at 20 or 21 in terms of a corner to go opposite A.J. Terrell. So if the plan pre-draft is to say, look, we value three corners at about the same, you know, Emin Wari or Johnson or whomever, and we can go from 15 to 21 and pick up another pick here in the, you know, third round, for example, we need to do that. So, therefore, what we need to do is we need to get a veteran in here, edge. It doesn't have to necessarily be, you know, we're going to go get Myles Garrett or Trey Hendrickson. They're not swimming in those waters. Not that Khalil Mack would be cheap, but you could go out and get a Khalil Mack, for example, or a Hassan Reddick as a veteran guy to go there and say, look, we like our edges. Now we have to go address the other part, which is the secondary, and we got to go get a corner. And, by the way, we got to get another linebacker, too. So, with all the holes on defense, I think that's how they're going to attack. How do you view it?
I agree with you. I think that they're going to go for more. I think that they will draft somebody on the edge, an edge defender, maybe even with their second round pick. But I think that they're going to their top free agent acquisition this offseason is going to be a pass rusher, a veteran pass rusher. It just seems like that to me, because that's the quickest way that you get return on that value. Draft picks, first round draft picks, John, they average, like defensive ends I'm talking about, they only average about like four sacks in their rookie year. This is a team that needs to win now. They need to up the sack production immediately, and the best way to do that, in my opinion, is going to be through a signing, although I think that it makes total sense to kind of support that immediate, you know, the signing and the immediate production with a draft pick and a longer-term player that you can develop.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating tomorrow. So let's see what the Falcons do today, because they have to create some cap room, and I think redoing Grady's deal, I know that a lot of people are like, well, you know, if you cut Grady, you know, you save like $12 million or something, because he's got $4 million still on the cap from a bonus. But you know what? Because I still think that that's a silly move. I think he's popular in the locker room. I think he's an anchor point on defense. I think you would miss him. People say he's not as productive. He's not. He's going to be 32 years old. But some of that is that, you know, people and teams double him because there's no other threat outside of him. So.
Yeah,
and certain guys have not developed here. I mean, we didn't see necessarily the development last year that we had hoped to see from a rookie like Rook or even a second-year guy like Zach Harrison. So I don't know what Jeff Ulbricht is planning to do here, but I think that a veteran would really help on the edge, and that would free them up to be able to address other concerns.
No doubt. And just really quickly, we talked to Grady at exit interview day, and he seemed extremely optimistic about the future of the team, and really seemed to have a desire to continue to want to be a part of this Falcons team. So I think that there's definitely interest on his side to, you know, continue with this thing. He likes being here, and I think that he is kind of one of those quote unquote favorite sons, so to speak, as far as like Arthur Blank and the Falcons organization, just in terms of the model kind of citizen, model professional he's been inside and outside that locker room. There's obviously a ton of respect both ways, and that's why I don't really see a cut as being something that seems super realistic, really.
Well, Joe, as always, it's going to be a really interesting 24 hours, so I'll be following you on the Twitter. Tell people where they can follow you on the Twitter.
Yeah, a lot of news. J. Patrick 200 is where you can find me. And, there's going to be a lot of stuff going down with the Falcons and across the NFL here starting in about, 24 hours or so.
Thanks, Joe. I appreciate you getting up.
All right. Thanks, John.
Joe Patrick, Falcons insider, Falcons reporter on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, as we head towards free agency beginning tomorrow at noon, no matter what they call it. All right, your time, your calls ahead, 404-726-0929. The Hawks and the Braves both moved into first place yesterday. I'll explain why, and we'll talk Hawks, Braves, Falcons, and more with you. Phone lines are open now till for the next couple hours, right here on Sports Radio 92 on the game. All right, grab a coffee. Actually, I'm on coffee number two. I just told Noella as we went to break there, I said, I'll be right back. Ran and made my second cup of coffee. And when I make a cup of coffee, it's not like, you know, the coffee. I use a big Tervis. It's like probably four cups of coffee. So if I, a little later in the show.
Yeah, eight cups. That's a little jittery.
Welcome back to it, 404-726-0929. Live on a Sunday morning, chatting with you. We got a lot to talk about. Free agency in the NFL opens tomorrow. What do you think is going to happen? Let me know. Also, the Hawks and Braves both moved into first place yesterday. No, legitimately, they did. The Braves are now in first place in the Grapefruit League. Yay! I know. They keep standings down in the Grapefruit League, and the Braves are in first place, and in the Cactus League, for that matter. The Braves are in first place in the Grapefruit League. Why they keep standings, I'm not really sure. But they do. I guess somebody's interested in Grapefruit League and Cactus League standings. I never really understood it. They've been doing it forever. When I was a kid, they'd be in the paper, the Grapefruit League and the Cactus League standings. And you're like, why are they doing standings? But they do, okay? Nonetheless. And the Hawks moved into first place last night with that win over Indiana. How about Trae Young? Dude has a lights-out first half. You know, and another thing where there's another stat about 25 points or more in the first half, and he's done it so many thousand times. I don't know. He keeps doing all these stats where he's in, like, this rarefied air of he's the only person since Magic Johnson and Oscar Robertson and, you know, Michael Jordan to ever do this and this and this and this and this, and then, but he's not an all-star. Okay. Right, sure. Okay, whatever. And so he has, and then he goes down and well, oh my God, no. And he's off to the locker room. And then they say, oh, he might be able to return. So he comes back and then lights it up again and then wins the game and hasn't missed a free throw in like 8 or 9 games and intentionally misses one at the end of the game just to make the game end. Gee, man. Yeah, no, he's not an all-star. God bless America. What does it take for some people to realize how good this guy is? I've been trying to, the trade people are still out there. I'm like, trade for what? Do you not? Okay. All right, so the Hawks moved into first place. Yeah, back to that. In the Southeast Division, they passed the Miami Heat and into first place in the Southeast Division. I posted it on my Twitter, at John Fricke. I don't think, Noel, most fans even know there are still divisions in the NBA. You know, and I'm not really sure. There's got to be like some tiebreaker, right? That there's still divisions? Is that right? Or is it just for scheduling? Or why do they even have divisions? Because I honestly don't know. But there are still Eastern Conference, Western Conference. That's the standings you look at, right? No, there are actually still divisions.
John, I am convinced that that's the major problem with NBA and viewing. The divisions don't mean anything. You can load manage.
No, the divisions
you sit
mean
all
nothing.
You want and like the divisions. All the stuff they try to do, the play-ins and the cup and all the stuff to gain interest, could be solved with real divisions. Imagine
well,
that.
Well, they still have divisions.
Well, I know, but I'm like, they don't mean anything. I'm like, if you put the meaning back and, like, if you lose this game, you're half a game under or over or whatever, then, like, you could probably control some of this low management and some of the other stuff that's causing the lack of viewership. In my opinion, it's the divisions that's the problem. They don't mean anything.
You know, that's a really good point, Noel. I mean, making me think at, you know, 9:47, but it's really 8:47 in the morning is not necessarily a good thing. But that's actually a really good point, because the Hawks moved into first place in the Southeast Division. They're a half game ahead of the Heat. Let's say that in the NBA, they did it like the NFL, where you get an automatic berth if you're a division champion, an automatic, you know, seed. There are three divisions in each conference, so maybe you get an automatic, I don't know, top five seed or top four seed. Let's just say it's top four. The three division champions and the team with the next best record, okay? So what would be the motivation for the Heat and Hawks to try to finish in the top four by winning their division? Oh, man, are you kidding me? I mean, yeah. So that's a really, really good point. I hadn't actually thought about that, but it's a great point. But there still are divisions. They don't really, again, I'm not really sure what they mean. There must be some, like, down the line, you know, head-to-head, then conference, and then your division. It's like a tiebreaker thing, I think. But there are divisions, and the Hawks are in the Southeast Division with, let me go look to see who's, I know Miami's in the division. By the way, 404-726-0929. My question about the Hawks isn't about being first place in the division. My question to all of you isn't even about, you know, do you finally, you Trey haters finally get it? That's another thing. My question to you about the Hawks is, are they not fun to watch? And are you not kind of excited about the potential of the future? You got a 21-year-old from Australia, who the difference between the number of steals that he has this year and the person who is second in steals in the NBA, okay, the difference in that number, Dyson Daniels versus, I don't even know who's second, but Dyson Daniels versus the person that's currently in, player that's currently in second in steals in the NBA, is greater than the, right, so I know it's early, it's math, is greater than the person who's in second from the person who's in 132nd. Okay, do you follow? That's how far ahead Dyson Daniels could not have another steal the rest of the year and still win the steal title by a mile. That's how great he's been. If he doesn't win Defensive Player of the Year, That just, again, goes to my point about how the media hates Atlanta. Because obviously he is. He's having a record-smashing year. He's the greatest thief we've seen. Now you got this incredible thief. And by the way, get on him all you want, because it's fair. But at some point, if Dyson Daniels is this guy, and by the way, if Zachary Risichet turns out to be Rookie of the Year, or, you know, turns out, you know, at his age to grow into a really great player, and you got Jalen Johnson who's growing into a great player, at some point, you're going to have to say, you know, maybe the front office is actually pretty good. No, there's no way. No, they, come on now. You know, I mean, Noel, they drafted what? They drafted, of the starters, the only starter they didn't draft was Dyson Daniels and Trae Young, right?
Right,
because they drafted the other three, yeah, right.
But you make the trade to get Dyson Daniels, so I got to give you credit for that, too.
Yeah, well, you made the trade to get Trae Young, too. So,
technically, yeah, fair. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I call it a roller coaster right now. We are on the Hawks roller coaster, and last night was a fun one.
Yeah, but they're fun. I mean, they're fun to watch. I mean, because there's no pressure here, and Jalen Johnson's not even playing, and you see the growth of all these young players, and now you see the deal that they made there at the deadline to change the bench, and you got a guy on the bench there that seems to be flourishing. You know, it's funny because Caris LeVert, when he was in college, was a guy that just drove me nuts because I'm not a Michigan State fan. But boy, he could play. And it was one of those, like, man, Caris LeVert could play. He was Big Ten Player of the Year. I mean, he could play. And now you're seeing why. I mean, he can play. And so the Hawks have suddenly become, not that Yang and Mann haven't had an impact on the team, but you get Jalen Johnson back in, and now you've got a full year of Risichet and a full year of Daniels kind of being in this, and this is an extremely young team. And I'm not just talking about Trae. You put Trae out on the floor with Jalen and Risichet and Dyson and Okongwu, and Trae is the elder statesman by quite a bit. It's a really young team. So given that, going into next year, no, I mean, don't you kind of have a positive outlook on the franchise for the first time in a long time? Or am I just, Noel, am I just like smoking drugs over here?
No, like I was telling Sam and Greg a little while ago, I think really the frustration just comes from being in the same cycle of, oh, look, look at the potential. But it's really there. And watching them right now without Jalen Johnson is really fun because, to your point, no Jalen Johnson takes the pressure off, and it allows people like Dyson and Risichet to grow, and you see the new bench kind of getting their footing. Like, Caris LeVert was out there shooting unconscious last night.
Well, dude could play. I mean, the dude can play. He probably might be sitting there going, look, I'd like to start somewhere. I get that, because he can obviously start in the NBA. But he also might like to be the microwave Vinny Johnson off the bench. You know, if he just likes, hey, I like Atlanta, I like this team, I think this team could do some damage. Because some of the other teams, look, Boston's a great team, right? But one of the, all right, I don't want to delve back into old history. Wish we would have kept Al Horford, because Al Horford is, look, the dude is just, he's ageless, okay? How many years has it been since we had Al Horford and we could add him all this time? Anyway, such a great player, but is what it is. But at some point, you know, some of these other teams start to get a little bit older, or they start to run into some money problems because their stars become supermax players. And so the Hawks, as young as they are, can kind of ride that wave a little bit. And the next thing you know, I think next year they're a team that can be pretty good. I don't know what pretty good means. About 500, certainly. But, you know, they're right now, they're a team that you don't much want to play. They're going to be in the playoffs, and we'll see what they do in the play-in. You know, maybe they can get into the final eight. If you're Cleveland, you're like, okay, we destroy the world. But what's the one team out there that, oh, wait, those guys have beaten us twice, haven't they? Because the Hawks have beaten them twice. And they're like, we don't really want to play those guys. Because the Hawks got nothing to lose. And they've beaten them twice already. They beat them in Cleveland. The Cavaliers, and not that they would win the series. You think the Hawks are really going to win a series against Cavaliers? I don't know. You think they're going to win a series against Boston? You know, they beat Boston twice already, right? Okay. No, but I think those teams look at the Hawks and go, oh, man, we're going to have to fight, aren't we? We're going to have to fight like hell. I don't want to have to fight like hell in the opening round because those guys are not going to give us any quarter here. They're not going to like just, oh, you know what? You guys are Cleveland and Boston. All right, we give, wave the white flag. Right. So let's talk about that. Are you kind of upbeat and excited about the Hawks if you're a Hawks fan? 404-726-0929. If you're a Braves fan, are you concerned about Profar? Let's just hope that the things don't come up. Let's hope that that's all good. Jammed wrist, nothing broken. Well, no more today. Merry Christmas. The Braves and their injuries. Frustrating. And the Falcons, what do you think is going to happen at free agency? We got all that to chatter about. We got college basketball. Do you think George is in? Or do they have to win another game in the tournament in Nashville to, you know, be in? That's kind of where I'm at right now. I think they're in, but I don't want to take any chances if I'm a Georgia fan. I want to lock that down. 404-726-0929. It is a Sunday morning live with John Fricke on Sports Radio 90 Time. The game, jump in. Come on. The water's warm. I know it's going to be a fun day. Let's talk.